start off our program today, Bill Resnick talks with Hallie Hawkins assessing New York Governor Cuomo's vision of the new Green New Deal and the Green Party's alternative proposal. Hawkins is an American politician, frequent candidate, and activist with the Green Party of the United States. They'll be talking about what the Green New Deal could become as it moves through U.S. Congress, which could be a huge piece of federal pork that will be devoured by big predators. Though perhaps a determined left might get something, perhaps monies for model zero carbon cities or block grants to states. Bill?
Thanks, Tom and Howie Hawkins. Welcome again to KBOO.
Hi, Bill. Good to be here.
Howie Hawkins is an organizer, a writer, a teamster, a Green Party activist, candidate for public office. He co-founded the Clamshell Alliance in 1976 and also the Green Party itself in 1984. His articles have appeared across the left. I won't mention all the journals. He's been the Green Party candidate for the Syracuse City Council and also for the governorship of New York State for the last decade, gaining enough votes in the last election, about 100,000, to keep the Green Party on the ballot. In his 2010 campaign for governor, he called for, yes, a Green New Deal. Surely one of the first folks to popularize the idea. Indeed, he and the Green Party and others created the political milieu that nourished Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of those Democratic Party radicals, the most prominent and telegenic and smart, who just won a seat to Congress. And she raised the Green New Deal program to national prominence and interest. Howie Hawkins recently wrote an article, The Green New Deal in New York Needs, from its original source. Howie, give us first a bit of history on the New Deal and then the Green New Deal, and then we can discuss the Green Party version of the New Deal, what you've been campaigning on versus corporate Democrat Andrew Cuomo's version.
Well, the Green New Deal I've campaigned for and tried to popularize is both an economic justice and a climate action program. And I propose we use this slogan, Green New Deal, for our gubernatorial race by the Green Party in New York State in 2010. And a lot of Greens were saying, oh, it's, you know, that's the old Democratic thing, the New Deal. We got to come up with something else. But I felt we ought to be raising those economic justice issues. You know, the last State of the Union address by Franklin Roosevelt called for a second Bill of Rights, an economic Bill of Rights. Everybody ought to have the right to a living wage job or an adequate income, decent housing, comprehensive health care, and a good education. And the Democrats, even though they've had majorities in both houses with the presidency there since Truman, every Democrat that's been president, they haven't done any of those things. So I said we can appeal to those people that still think of themselves as progressive Democrats who are waiting for the Democrats to deliver and say, we really mean it. And given that we're coming out of the Great Recession at that time in 2010, the big financial crash in 2007 and 8, we needed to revive the economy. And so moving to 100% clean energy by 2030, which was our central climate demand, would provide the economic stimulus and the long-term sustainable foundations for an economy that could guarantee economic human rights to all. So that was the basic idea. And actually, the European Greens have been using it since 2006. They were trying to democratize economic policy in the EU, where they have centralized monetary policy, but no coordination of fiscal policy, which enables the elites to impose austerity. They had a whole program. They wanted to go global with it and not, you know, sell the green technologies. It basically provide reparations for colonialism and being a major emitter of carbon emissions, which was heating the planet. So it was already in the air, but I took it into the election and got a good response. And so, you know, I've run three times on that. Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential campaign, made it central to her campaigns in 2012 and 2016. I mean, even in 2010, it was picked up by Rich Whitney, the Green Party candidate for governor of Illinois, who had gotten 10% of the vote in 2006. He got 3% that year. 2006, he's running against Blagojevich, that crazy guy that, you know, ended up in prison. So he had a good climate at that time. So that was the content of the Green New Deal. And so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with the Sunrise Movement, took it to Pelosi's office a week after the election this year. And 58 of those youth in the Sunrise Movement got arrested, and even more, Ocasio-Cortez got attention for confronting Pelosi. And suddenly, 600 environmental groups are signing a letter, we're for the Green New Deal, and telling Congress what they want. And the media, you know, they like Alexandria. She's, you know, telegenic, articulate, and kind of bold. So the thing has exploded since then. And unfortunately, like the old New Deal, in the new this Green New Deal, the Democratic establishment has kind of boxed it out. They wanted a select committee for a Green New Deal with subpoena power and the ability to put legislation right on the House floor. And Pelosi said, you know, she kind of closed the box, you know, and took away all those pieces and finally said, no select committee on the Green New Deal. We're going to form a select committee on climate change and put people who are recipients of fossil fuel industry money on that committee, which was one of the issues that was central to the Sunrise Movement. They wanted candidates that wouldn't take that money. So it's kind of boxed off there. The Sunrise Movement is now trying to raise it in the Democratic primaries. They're very oriented to the Democratic Party, which we can talk about. I think that's a big mistake, or at least they should recognize that an independent challenge gives them leverage inside the Democratic Party, because otherwise their voters have nowhere to go. It's, you know, it's a Democrat who sells them out on the Green New Deal versus a Republican who's even worse. So that's where that's headed at that level. So when this thing exploded, you know, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is nothing if not someone who knows how to grab a headline, make a big announcement. He probably won't follow through. But he said, I'm for a Green New Deal, too. Now, his Green New Deal, unlike Alexandria Cortez, which I will give her credit, she said, you know, this is not just a climate policy, which is crucial, but it's also improve Medicare for all, and a job guarantee and an income guarantee. So she was talking a lot about what we've been talking about. In fact, her campaign manager managed a Green campaign the year before, a guy named Jabari Brisport, who ran as a Green and a socialist. He put up a socialist line in a city council race in Brooklyn. So, you know, they've been taking our stuff, which is fine because the point is to get it adopted. So now Cuomo comes out, but for him, there's none of this economic justice stuff. He's not for a single-payer Medicare for all system. We have a bill that's passed the Assembly four times. Now it's going to pass or could pass the Senate, although I think the Democrats are going to get cold feet. But anyway, he didn't affirm that. He just said, here's my Green New Deal. We're going to go to 100% clean electricity by 2040. And we've been calling for all, you know, energy by 2030 to be clean. Now, electricity is only 20% of the state's carbon footprint. So he's not dealing with transportation, buildings, industry, or agriculture. And he doesn't really mean it because he's also pushing frack gas power plants, including one to power the Capitol itself in Albany. And when those plants are built, you know, and they're being built right now, they're going to be emitting carbon and other greenhouse gases long after 2040. So he's not even serious. But he saw a popular headline, and he grabbed it, and he slapped that label on his energy policy. So that's kind of where we stand. You know, the article you mentioned, I've had some others and some commentary, you know, where I've been quoted in the media saying, you know, he's watered it down so it's hardly even recognizable. So in the state legislature, there are three climate bills now. One that we helped write, the Green Party, called New York Off Fossil Fuels. It would halt all new fossil fuel infrastructure and go to 100% clean energy by 2030. It's got a real planning mechanism, a climate justice or environmental justice, just transition aspect. It's got benchmarks and timetables. It's really serious. The liberals got a bill that's passed the Assembly four times, which is basically codifying Cuomo's energy policy. And that's because, really, they want to get some state money for the groups they represent. Community groups and low-income communities, that's fine, but it's not like they won't halt fossil fuel infrastructure. They're afraid of alienating the building trades unions as if they have an alliance with them, which they don't. I was before a Teamster, a construction worker. I can tell you all about that. And then Cuomo's got now what he calls the Climate Leadership Act. So, you know, our task now in New York is to go to the legislators and explain the differences and try to get some of them to back the strong bill that we're pushing, New York off fossil fuels.
Right. Howie, let's change gears a little bit now with all that introduction. It seems to me that the Green New Deal furor and the support by corporate Democrats for their own purposes, it could lead to a actually disastrous impact, which is the Trump's infrastructure talking. It's all very undefined. He's just promising sort of, I'm for jobs and I'm for infrastructure, and then nothing, no program whatsoever, no funding mechanism or anything. But sort of the Republicans have to have a program, and the Democrats have to have a program that is in the Congress. And they, in fact, could jump on this. I have the sense that there's a possibility of a bipartisan deal to create a big Green New Deal program that would, in fact, just be a lot of pork, which is like the military budget. Every community in the country gets a little bit of the money. Some get more when they have a well-connected senator. The military budget is just a gift to well-connected corporations mediated by the congressperson in their district who stands to gain by talking about all the jobs that he or she has created. And that would, in fact, then really have a deleterious effect in all of this sort of fighting about the Green New Deal, which is not going to pass the Congress. It takes attention from what can be done, especially in some states like California, where you're getting a tremendous surge in municipalization of energy, where local communities are taking over from the investor-owned utilities because they've failed so miserably in California and because energy prices are so high there, but they aren't high in Los Angeles and Sacramento that are public utilities who have a tremendously good reputation. In California now, there's laws that provide where communities like Alameda County, Oakland is part of it, take over their energy, and they have. And they're creating the embryo of an organization that could, in fact, sort of administer locally a Green New Deal. And it seems to me that's such a great opportunity. Whereas right now in Congress, I think we're going to wind up on the defensive. I mean, in the national legislature, we're going to be on the defensive if they ever, in fact, even consider a Green New Deal and an infrastructure, you know, a combination of the two of them. Anyway, comment on that hypothesis.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, remember that before they were touting the Green New Deal, the Sunrise Movement was trying to get the Democrats to stop taking fossil fuel money. And they actually got the Democratic National Committee to sneak that through. I think it was probably in the meeting when everybody was tired, spring of 2018. At the next meeting, they said, no. They reversed that policy and reaffirmed Obama's energy policy of all of the above, which means we're going to frack the hell out of the country for gas and oil, and we're going to be dependent on fossil fuels. And they'll throw in some money for wind and solar. But like you described, the way this stuff is designed and handed out, it goes to the incumbent industries, these big, you know, investor-owned utilities, and the big companies that are doing the solar and wind, you know, the Teslas of the world. And it's not really doing an energy transition. It's using the crisis of the climate as an excuse to hand out more corporate welfare. So that, I think you're right. That's the danger. And, you know, I would argue and am arguing to the, you know, Ocasio-Cortez's and the Sunrise Movements and 350.org and all these groups that think the Democrats are going to do something. Remember what happened to the New Deal called the Freedom Budget that the Black Freedom Movement put out there after the March on Washington for jobs and freedom in the 60s. And back then they said it was a political thing. They basically decided, people like A. Philip Randolph and Bayard Rustin and, you know, supported by Michael Harrington, they and Martin Luther King, they were saying, in order to secure the political and civil rights that have now been legislated, we have to secure economic rights for everybody and undermine this white backlash that's coming at us. And so they put forward a freedom budget that would realize those economic rights that FDR talked about in his last State of the Union address for everybody. And, you know, the way A. Philip Randolph put it was, we have to liberate our white brothers and sisters in order to liberate ourselves. And so they were trying to build this movement around a freedom budget, which was a basically a budget for Congress to enact an economic bill of rights. And I think the lesson, political lesson for us today, is that Rustin and Randolph and Harrington and those people, they were silent about the war in Vietnam in order to stay in good stead with the Democrats in hopes of getting the freedom budget passed. And the war on poverty they wanted to do got lost in Vietnam. King saw the difference, it being King's birthday. Let's remember this. He didn't go that way. He stayed politically independent, even considered for a minute a peace and freedom presidential run. That wasn't ready organizationally. He smartly said, no thanks. But then he embarked on a poor people's campaign, which was basically going to sit in Washington and disrupt things until they came forward with this freedom budget. Or the demands of the Poor People's Campaign were along those lines. And I think that's a lesson for us today, two lessons. One is, politically, to get the climate changes we want, the energy policy changes we want, we got to ensure people feel economically secure making those changes, because there are a lot of communities dependent on fossil fuel plants, the oil industry, the gas industry, nuclear plants. They got to be assured that they will be whole during the transition. And so that's the political coalition that's got to be built.
Yeah, Howie, we only have a couple minutes less.
Sure.
It does seem to me that's one major goal is the Poor People's Campaign writ large as a and a Green New Deal as Cortez Ocasio imagines it, not her strategy for getting it. We also, though, really have to look at the local level and supporting all of the local level potentials that are really so clear today, where some cities and some localities are actually moving towards a real zero carbon, not just the electricity, which would itself be a great gain. It seems to me we have to work on those two tracks, and what's really promising at the local level in a lot of places to create these embryos. Comment on that, and then we'll just have to sign off.
Well, a public energy system for New York State, where the utilities and the major transmission, distribution, and generation is under a publicly controlled and publicly owned system, is part of our Green New Deal, because we understand we need that to effectively plan. We need that so the earnings from the sale of fossil fuels, which will go on during the transition, are reinvested in the renewable sector, and we get the incumbent utility, nuclear, and fossil fuel companies out of the way so they can't obstruct this transition. So that, to us, in our mind, is central. And we have 50 public power systems that, mostly at the village level, a few rural cooperatives in New York State. We have a New York Power Authority, which runs the hydro dams, and we want to consolidate that into a system where we can really plan the transition. And at the municipal level, there's lots of opportunities. There's movements all over the country. If you look at countries like Europe or Germany,
yeah,
or Uruguay, where they've moved to, are moving fast toward renewables, it's been the local publicly owned
utilities. Howie, we have to close.
Transition.
We'll talk, Howie, we'll talk again. You are great, and I think your vision is clear. Thanks a lot for talking to us today, Howie Hawkins.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks.
Right, so long.